welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Door of Life broadcast. We are so glad you've tuned in this morning, and we just want to start off by saying a happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. We just pray that it is a special day for you. We know it's under some unusual circumstances this year, but we're just trusting that you are still going to experience the blessing, the favor, the grace of your family, wherever they may be, and just to know how loved and appreciated you are today. So we do welcome all you moms and everybody who's joining us in the broadcast today. My name is Pastor Ed House. This is Door of Life Christian Church, and we're excited to just come together in the name of Jesus and to gather around the Word of God and just to experience the presence of God, revelation, to see things, and we're just trusting that's going to happen for each one of us this morning, where we're going to go ahead and start our service with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this precious Mother's Day. And we do pray for all the moms out there that they will just sense a special touch and grace of your Spirit today, that they'll just know that they are loved and appreciated. We just pray that they'll be honored in many ways throughout the day today, and that they'll just sense that honoring by your Spirit today, Father God, just to sense that well done in their own hearts for each one of them, Lord. We just thank you for it. We just pray your blessing over the service now, that you'll guide our steps, that you'll just guide the ministry of the Word, Father, that we'll just have eyes to see, ears to hear the things that you want to speak to our hearts today. So we take our place, and we take our place in your green pastures to lie down, to look out across those still waters and let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts, show us things, and restore our soul, Lord. Our heart is to behold you, to see you, to be changed this morning by your Word, by your Spirit. We thank you for this time. We dedicate it to you. We pray everything is done for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, again, welcome, and we're going to go ahead and just get started this morning in the Word of God. And as we do, we're going to take a look at a very special passage from Isaiah. I have so many favorite passages of Scripture in the book of Isaiah, but this is definitely one of my very top. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. He says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Wow, what a powerful passage of Scripture. Arise, shine, for your light has come. You can just hear this summonsing of hope the prophet Isaiah is declaring over Israel. You got to keep in mind, too, that this is happening during the Babylonian captivity. So, you know, Israel is not like in a happy place here. They're in a dark place. And right in the middle of that darkness, you got the prophet just like prophesying hope over them, instructing them, arise, shine. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Yeah, darkness is over the earth, but the Lord will arise over you. Wow. I mean, when you're in that place of darkness, to just hear that word, that prophetic word, the Lord will arise over you. So powerful passage of Scripture. I mean, it's so encouraging to hear how in that midst of darkness, despair, the Word of God, the Spirit of God declares and prophesies hope. It's like, I know it's dark, but you know what? You have cause to hope again. All right. And, you know, when I think about just our lives, so many times we're kind of waiting for things to get fixed up or repaired or have things figured out or to understand the answer to this or to that. And once I kind of get it all figured out, then, okay, I can hope again. You know, but that's not the case here with Israel. That's not the way the Lord works in our lives either. We don't have to have everything all together before we have permission to hope again. Not at all. In fact, healing takes place as we're beginning to hope. You know, hope is part of that healing process for us to become whole, to be strong. In fact, sometimes I would say hope is the missing ingredient to our healing process at times. And so we need to realize that, you know, no matter what state we're in, no matter what captivity we may be in, they were in, again, the Babylonian captivity. You may be fighting with things, you may be dealing with things and feel captive to things. Right in the middle of that, there's a word for you. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Hope. Praise God. You have cause to hope in the middle of your situation, the middle of what you're going through. You need to know that this morning. You can hope, which leads us to the title of our message. Permission to hope again. Your golden ticket. I love this picture. You see the sun shining through. Of course, I think of that scripture, arise, shine, for your light has come. And this little tiny flower just beginning to sprout up out of the ground, just really indicative of a fresh new hope. And again, the message title is Permission to Hope Again. It's like people who are in a place of darkness who are being prophesied over. Arise, shine, for your light has come. There's a sense of divine permission that, hey, my light has come. I can hope again. And you see it's subtitled Your Golden Ticket. Your golden ticket. Permission to hope again, your golden ticket. Now you might be wondering, what do I mean by the golden ticket part? And I'll just give you a little heads up right now. If you've ever seen the old classic Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, a 1971 movie, you'll have probably a good idea where we're going with that. The golden ticket. But I'll talk a little bit more about that later. First of all, though, I just felt impressed with this message to kind of follow up with this admonition before we really delve into it. Be selfish with this message today. We're going to be talking about hope and permission to hope and the ability to hope again. But this isn't about your marriage. This isn't about your children, okay? This isn't about other people. This message needs to be for you today. You need to receive this for yourself. This is about your hope. This is about your wholeness in your relationship with God. Things don't have to line up. Things don't have to be perfect in life, but you can enjoy a wholeness and a hope and a beautiful life in God. And I'm just trusting that as God speaks to your heart this morning about your hope, that there's going to be something really good restored and strengthened in you. Because as that wholeness is in you and that hope is strong in you, in your well-being, it's going to minister well-being and hope and strength to all those other people and relationships you care about. But it has to start with you. There has to be something very genuine and very real coming from you. And so we're talking again about permission to hope. All right? You have permission to hope again. You know, Israel had a great past, some amazing testimonies of their God and stories of how he delivered them, how he provided for them. And yet here they were in captivity again. And Isaiah is saying, arise, shine. You can hope again. Why, Israel? You got a golden ticket. Well, let's find out what that means. So the first aspect of permission to hope again, your golden ticket, is establishing what we mean by your golden ticket. You have a golden ticket. Again, if you've seen the old movie, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, you probably know where I'm going with this, at least in a general sense. Just a kind of a quick, maybe cast of characters, plot overview. There's this guy named Willy Wonka. and he's kind of this eccentric guy, and he's got this chocolate factory, and he is offering five lucky people a chance to win a tour of his chocolate factory and then a lifetime supply of chocolate. So he's in a very shrewd marketing campaign, stuffs five golden tickets into a million, multi-million chocolate bars. So you've just got a few chances of winning this tour and free lifetime supply of chocolate. So it becomes this great marketing campaign. They build it up as the show goes on. You know, people are searching for these tickets. That's the goal. They got to get one of these five tickets. And so you're also in this movie introduced to a young kid named Charlie, just a really sweet kid. He's got a very poor family. He has like, I think it's like a newspaper route that he uses to raise money to feed his family. I mean, it's quite a story. And so as we're kind of thinking about this, he's one of the kids that really wants to win this prize. I mean, he just so wants to get the lifetime supply of chocolate for his family and for himself and to, you know, see the chocolate factory. And, you know, he's got his Grandpa Joe that's living there with him as well. And Grandpa Joe's cheering him on. And so kind of the first part of the movie is just all about Charlie to see if he can some way win this golden ticket. They don't have a lot of money. He can't buy a lot of chocolate bars, but he really believes the chocolate bar he buys is going to be the one that gets him this tour of the factory. So kind of with that in mind, we're going to go forward and take a look at our text here. So now we're going to go back and take a look at our original scripture in Isaiah chapter 60, but we're going to take a little closer look at verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, here it is in the Amplified. It says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Praise God. I love that verbiage because it gives you a little bit more of a picture. You know, you think of arise, shine. You know, in this picture, in the Amplified, it's like you're laying down. There's prostration. You're in that horizontal position. And there's depression there. And there are circumstances of life that have kept you there. It's like this spiritual condition, this frustration, probably like a passivity. And it's just like, you know, you're in this place. And it's from that place, that attitude, that all of a sudden you're hearing this summons of hope to arise, shine, because your light has come. Get up. Get up out of that bed of depression, that bed of prostration of circumstances. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Remember, this message is for you today, okay? To arise, shine, to get up from that place. And as we're talking about that and that visual that the Amplified gives us so beautifully of verse 1, it really connects back to our story. Now, remember Charlie. Charlie's this innocent little boy, good-hearted little guy, has a paper route trying to raise money for his poor family to make ends meet, and just sweet guy. You want him to win, you know? You want him to get that golden ticket. But through a series of circumstances, he does end up getting the fifth and final golden ticket. And he's so excited. He comes back home and he won the ticket. His family's all excited for him. He, you know, Grandpa Joe's putting the good eye on that ticket. And he goes, that's it. You've really won the ticket. But here's the problem. You know, Charlie loves his Grandpa Joe. And Grandpa Joe's the one who believed in Charlie, that he was going to get him. And Charlie's just all sad because his Grandpa Joe's been bedridden for years in this bed. And he said, oh, Grandpa Joe, I can take one person with me. I get one visitor to come with me. I really wish I could take you, Grandpa Joe. You're the one I'd want to take. And Grandpa Joe, all of a sudden, when he hears that from Charlie and he sees that ticket, something happens to Grandpa Joe. Something miraculous happens to Grandpa Joe. All of a sudden, he kind of looks up and he takes his legs and he moves them off to the side of the bed. He puts a little pressure on those legs. And he just arises from that bed. He just arises from that bed because that golden ticket, he's got something to get up for, okay? And he got up, and as he stands up, he breaks into this little song. Now, this is not necessarily a spiritual song per se, but there's some good spiritual truths in it. So I'm just going to read to you here kind of this song that Grandpa Joe just, he kind of starts talking and then he breaks into song and dance in the movie. But he starts out by saying, "I never thought my life could be anything but catastrophe. But suddenly I begin to see a bit of good luck for me. Because I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden twinkle in my eye. I've never had a chance to shine. Never a happy song to sing. But suddenly half the world is mine. What an amazing thing." So by this time, he's standing up and he's starting to move around. He says, "Because I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden sun up in the sky. I never thought I'd see the day when I would face the world and say, 'Good morning, look at the sun.' I never thought I would be slap in the lap of luxury, because I'd have said it couldn't be done. But it can be done. I never dreamed that I would climb over the moon in ecstasy, but nevertheless, it's there, and I'm shortly about to be. Because I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden chance to make my way. And with a golden ticket, it's a golden day." So what happened? Grandpa Joe, once his grandson Charlie got that ticket, he got healed. He got healed in his legs and he was able to get out of that bed. And he's dancing around with his grandson Charlie, and they break into that song and dance and sing that little song. And lo and behold, Grandpa Joe is able to go with Charlie to the chocolate factory. And, I love that. I love that little story, because it was something that motivated him. It was like there was something. He was in that bed. It kind of shows you that, yeah, he was in that bed, but there was probably more to, why he was in that bed. But something about that golden ticket was able to get him up and out of that bed. Our kids and I would kind of joke a little bit. We had a little dachshund named Sam, and toward the end of Sam's life, he was struggling. He had some real physical things and real impairments and stuff like that. We know that for sure. But there would be some times when he would just, be howling, and he would just stay in his little bed there, and he just really wouldn't get up, and there would be like nothing we could do. And I remember there was one time we'd be trying to comfort him and encourage him and say, "Come on, Sam, you can do it." He wouldn't have any of that. And I would have to sometimes just come with literally a spoon of honey, just because he couldn't make his way to his bowl and eat. And so we would have him lick the honey, to just get a little bit of nourishment, and bring his water bowl over there, and it was like he's in the depths of despair. And lo and behold, the next day, Julie would throw, some fresh salmon on the grill and start cooking that up, and about not even 5-10 minutes later, as those fumes were starting to come into the house, Sam would catch a whiff of those fumes, and just instinctively, he'd pop up off that bed, and he'd just go running into the kitchen and start scratching at the door because he wanted to get out to the grill where the salmon was being cooked. And, we'd kind of all look at each other, Julie and I and the kids, and go, "Oh boy, looks like Sam got a golden ticket, he's been, raised up off the deathbed again." So, to Sam's credit, at least he had something. There was something that could get through to him. Again, we'd be around him, surrounding him, encouraging, and he's kind of, I know the little bubble above his head, and yeah, I've heard all this before. That really didn't work. But there was something about the smell of freshly grilled salmon that was like permission to hope again. Something to get him up, to push past his pain, to push past his frustrations and go to where that was, and just being sparked that, hey, wow, I've got the prospect of table scraps in just the, you know, within the hour. And so that would get them up and about. And we would kind of joke, you know, amongst ourselves, because it was kind of like the, you know, Grandpa Joe, you know, he was able to sing and dance, and all of a sudden he's healed again. So, you know, we joked that Sam got healed again. But what are we saying here? There was a golden ticket. There was a reason. There was an ability to be able to get up from that bed of prostration and circumstances that have held you back. And so that's what we're talking about right now. We have permission to hope again. Why? We have a golden ticket. Do we have a golden ticket? Do we have something that great to get us out of a bed that we're in our situation and our stuff? Again, I'm talking to you, not the other person. This is just you. To get you up, to get you out of bed, to get you full of that place where you're in your own song and dance. Praise God. Well, let's take a look. Let's take a look at our golden ticket. The scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 through 19, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." You know, when we're lying in that bed, spiritually, so to speak, mentally, emotionally, you know what I'm talking about. There's something that we've got to remember. We have a golden ticket. Somebody paid something, not gold or silver, nothing of a monetary value in that sense. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Now, even though the precious blood of Christ is much more valuable than gold and silver, it does have something in common with gold and silver, and even something in common with Charlie's golden ticket. All of those things are physical. They're tangible. It was the precious blood of Jesus Christ that ransomed us. It wasn't a happy God thought that got us forgiven. It was a physical blood that was really shed, and it was shed for all of us. In fact, this earth is still marked with his blood that fell to this earth. This earth has been marked with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He's given you something. Now, let's take a closer look at that blood and what that blood does. Hebrews chapter 4, 19, 13 through 14 says, "Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's body from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins." Well, we know we were redeemed by that blood. We know that we were bought back by that blood. But that blood doesn't just have accounting purposes, okay? It's not that it just balances the books in a legal sense. There's power in that blood, as we see here in verse 14, to purify our consciences from sinful deeds so we can get back up and worship the living God. I love that. The power of the blood. The power of the blood can take on anything that would keep us in that bed. You know, as I was thinking about these scriptures, the Lord just prompted a song to my heart that I know has been really popular in recent years. It's a Matthew West song. It's simply called Grace Wins. It says, "In my weakest moment, I see you shaking your head in disgrace. I can read the disappointment written all over your face. Here comes those whispers in my ear saying, 'Who do you think you are? Looks like you're on your own from here, because grace could never reach that far.'" That's the voices in our head when we're laying in that bed. But in the shadow of that shame, beat down by all the blame, I hear you call my name saying, 'It's not over.' And my heart starts to beat so loud, drowning out the doubt. I'm down, but not out. There's a war between guilt and grace, and they're fighting for a sacred space. But I'm living proof, grace wins every time. No more lying down in death's defeat. Now I'm rising up in victory, singing hallelujah, grace wins every time. Words can't describe the way it feels when mercy floods a thirsty soul. A broken side begins to heal, and grace returns what guilt has stole. And in the shadow of that shame, beat down by all the blame, I hear you call my name, saying, it's not over. And my heart starts to beat so loud, drowning out the doubt. I'm down but not out. There's a war between guilt and grace, and they're fighting for a sacred space. But I'm living proof that grace wins every time. No more lying down in death's defeat. Now I'm rising up in victory, singing hallelujah. Grace wins every time. For the prodigal son, grace wins. For the woman at the well, grace wins. For the blind man and the beggar, grace wins. Always and forever, grace wins. For the lost out on the street, grace wins. For the worst part of you and me, grace wins. For the thief on the cross, grace wins. For a world that is lost. There is a war between guilt and grace, fighting for that sacred space. But the fact is, grace wins every time. Praise God, grace wins every time. And the fact that grace wins every time is your golden ticket. It's what you've got. No matter what bed you're laying down in, no matter what the circumstances are, Charlie has just run through your door and given you a golden ticket, right? But this is really a ticket in the form of your Heavenly Father so loving you that he sent his only begotten Son. And he shed his precious blood. And that precious blood shed in love from the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ is our golden ticket. It's what wins every time. You know, when we're laying in that bed of prostration and frustration and depression and all that stuff, we can be a little hard to get along with, you know? In fact, we can do a pretty good job at trying to keep people away from us and keep people, not wanting to be near us. In fact, like I said, Sam, you know, we'd be around and we'd be comforting. Yeah, he just didn't want any of that. All right. Yeah. I've heard all that before. And so we can kind of create that air and attitude and keep people away. All right. But no matter what we do and how we can play or manipulate people and try to get them afraid of us, not be around us or whatever, something you got to realize about your golden ticket, the blood of Jesus Christ, is that the blood of Jesus Christ can stare you down. He can stare down your sinfulness, your selfishness, self-pity, hatefulness, pride, stubbornness, the worst part of you and me. The blood of Jesus Christ stares all that down. He's not intimidated by any of that. He's just there saying, I love you. Receive my forgiveness. He's just there. What is that? Yeah, that's a golden ticket. That's the grace of God. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. That blood was shed for us. That blood is, there's nothing that's stronger and more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ, even our bad attitudes. At some point, we just have to humble ourselves and say, I know you love me. I receive that mercy. I receive that forgiveness. Here's just a little excerpt from a song. Actually, it's an old Carmen song. It's kind of talking about the crucifixion of Jesus and walking through that. And then kind of at the last part of the song, he says, and through the agony and torment that never a soul shall find, Jesus tilts his face toward heaven with full control of his mind, with more love than any human heard before that time or since. He made a statement to this day, makes the strongest skeptic wince. Father God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as he gave his life for those lost in sin, he was saying, this blood is for you. And this blood can save the soul, heal the sick, mend the heart, This blood can give you access to the very throne of God, and it still can go the distance through the pain to where you are. This blood is for you. If you're lost and alone and your mind is confused, this blood is for you. If you feel like you've been hurt and abused, this blood is for you. The atoning, cleansing blood of the Lamb. We have something. We have something. I'm calling it a golden ticket. We have something that can get us out of any bed. Because there's, again, nothing in that bed that the blood of Jesus Christ did not pay for, atone for. And what is the blood speaking? It's saying, arise, shine, for your light has come. You can get up again. You can get up again. You have permission to hope again. Isn't that why we stay in the bed? To kind of protect ourselves. I don't want to get my hopes up. I don't want to get hurt again. The blood is saying something. You have permission to hope again. You know, if that blood of Jesus Christ never really cleanses your conscience from the sense of guilt and shame, you just have a grace theology. But when that blood does cleanse your conscience and you receive that forgiveness and you receive that cleansing and all the guilt and all the shame versus the blood of Jesus has to go, and you receive a clear conscience through grace, man, that's when you have a golden ticket. God is just speaking something to us this morning. You have something in Jesus Christ. You have permission to hope again. You have forgiveness. You have cleansing. There is a dance. There is a song you can sing. There is a song of grace. We have a song through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're forgiven. Praise God. Which leads us to our next point. So the other aspect of permission to hope again has to do with what we're calling prophesy to your future. Prophesy to your future. It's one thing to know you've got a golden ticket. Look, there's no bed that you've made that you have to lie in, okay? No matter what bed you've made or other people have tried to make for you, there's a way up. There's a way out. It's through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to get back up on your feet because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. But the other aspect of this wonderful passage in Isaiah is that we see that we're to prophesy to our future. He's talking about how the light of the is going to shine on you. The Gentiles are going to come to you. It's going to be seen upon you. All right. There's going to be not just to get you out of that bed, but he's getting you out of that bed for a purpose. He's got a plan for you. Let's take a look at a couple scriptures along this line. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, the Apostle Paul writing to young Pastor Timothy, he says, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you. Based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier, may they, those prophetic words, help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Now, as we look at this passage of scripture, I want to actually start with the last verse first here, verse 19, because it kind of segues from where we've just come from, okay? Cling to your faith, keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their conscience. As a result, their faith is shipwrecked. Now, have you ever violated your conscience and shipwrecked your faith before? Yeah, we all have. I mean, we wouldn't consciously say, I have shipwrecked my faith. No, typically we're in that place where circumstances have kept us, and maybe we did things that violated our conscience, but we were frustrated with people or we're mad at God because there's things we don't understand, and got a chip on my shoulder, and I'm playing hard to get with God and all that. I'm basically on that bed again, all right? I'm violated my conscience. But, you know, we've done that again. But, you know, the good news again here is even for that person in verse 19, I'll tell you something. If you're shipwrecked, you don't have to stay shipwrecked. Because even though you've violated your conscience, you've got a golden ticket, the blood of Jesus Christ, that can cleanse a violated conscience. Even when your conscience isn't clear, violated, that blood can cleanse a violated conscience, get you off the beach from being beached on the shore, and get you sailing back in those waters again. You know, like that scripture says, he'll cleanse your conscience so that you can worship and glorify God. You can do the good works he's ordained you to walk in, you know. He's not just cleansing your conscience for the sake of that. He's doing it for the sake of getting you back in the race, getting you back sailing again, getting you back doing what he's called you to do to fulfill your plan and purpose for your life. And so it's important to realize that. But he goes on, you know, in that first part, he says, you know, here are my instructions based on the prophetic words. In other words, Timothy had prophetic words spoken over him. And he's telling Timothy, son Timothy, remember those prophetic words. All right. In fact, fight, spiritually fight with those words. Those prophetic words will help you fight in the Lord's battle. Why do you need those prophetic words? Because there are spiritual powers and principalities that are trying to derail you and get you off track, but you're going to be able to go back and say, it is written, thus saith the Lord. You're going to be doing that with the word of God, the written word of God, and you're going to be doing it with the prophetic words that have been spoken to you under the utterance and the power and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God speaks words over you. And what are you doing? You're clinging to your faith in Christ. You're clinging to those words. You're clinging to the word of God. You're prophesy to your future. You tell your future how it's going to be. You tell your future how it's going to be according to those prophetic words. Those prophetic words are looking out ahead. They're telling you this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to guide you. And so you're beginning to prophesy to your future. You're getting out of that bed and you're beginning to declare what's going to happen. You know, God does have prophetic words for your life. He's got things that are out in front of you. Here's a wonderful passage of scripture we get a glimpse from. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. The New Living says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You know, God's thoughts toward you, his plans for you, they're good, they're peace. And as we begin to see that, we begin to know that, yeah, I'm getting out of this bed, but I'm not just getting out of this bed, you know, worried and apprehensive and post-traumatic stress to be able to get out and do things for God. No, I'm not getting out that way. I'm getting out that way prophesying. I'm getting out that way, getting out of that bed speaking. All right, I've got permission to hope again. Because the glory of the Lord has risen upon me. There's a favor on my life that I have through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We talked about this last Sunday, just about how that favor, pulling into the favor of God, you're pulling into the favor of that blood. That blood is a favor. That blood is your golden ticket to get you out of bed, to get your legs working again, to give you purpose, to hope that you're here. I'm not going to burn up the few years I got down here in that bed. All right, I'm only down here for a little bit. I'm getting out of that bed and I'm going to get up by the grace and the favor of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to let that blood stare down the worst part of me, stare down my junk, stare down my stubbornness and swallow that up and cleanse my conscience and get me back up so that I can walk in these good works he's ordained me to walk in. I'm not going to stay shipwrecked just because I violated my conscience. No, I have a golden ticket. I have a blood that can cleanse my conscience from those dead works. There's nothing I can do. All I can do is receive that grace and get back up and say, okay, now I'm prophesying toward my future. I'm going forward. I'm not getting off this bed in fear, waiting for the next shoe to drop. No, I'm prophesying out ahead of my future. And I'm saying, this is how it's going to be. Thus says the Lord, it is written. Praise God. So what's the point? It's prophesy to your future. Hope is future. You are prophesying hope. Arise, shine, for your light has come. It will be seen on you, and the Gentiles will come and see your light. Not only are you in captivity to Gentiles right now, Israel, but there's coming a day as you arise that Gentiles are going to be coming to you to look at your light. Wow, what a complete turnaround. He's prophesying a future and he's prophesying a hope. That's what we need to do too. Prophesy that future and that hope. Those same lies that couldn't keep us down in that bed of frustration. Those same lies also can't hold us back from the future that God has for us. They can't hold us back from what God is calling us to do. We're getting up and we're moving. We're going forward. We're prophesying into that future. We're declaring those plans that God has for us. You know, this is where it's good to begin to just to start with the prophetic word of the Word of God. The scripture itself is self-declared as a prophetic word. And so, man, start with those things that you know. Begin to declare as you're coming off that bed, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think. There's nothing getting in my way of my future that the power of God in me doesn't have the ability beyond what I think to do what needs to be done. Praise God. Not only that, but He's given me exceedingly great and precious promises that according to those promises pertain everything that has to do with life and godliness. And all those promises are yes and amen in Him. And so I can declare that in Christ, He always gives me the victory. I'm going forward in those promises. I'm not just going forward limping along. I'm going forward as a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. I'm coming off that bed knowing who I am in Christ and knowing that I'm loved by God and knowing that I'm His workmanship and that there are good works I'm going for. I'm sailing back into that stream, that flow of the Holy Spirit. I'm going back into the good works He's ordained me to walk in. I'm getting up off that bed, praise God, and I'm going into the plan of God for my life. I'm prophesying out ahead. I'm declaring that it is going to go well with me. I'm declaring that I am getting strong. I am getting healed up physically, mentally, emotionally. I'm declaring that I am whole in Christ. I'm declaring that there is no weapon formed against me in my future that will prosper. I'm declaring that any tongue that rises up against me in judgment, God will condemn. I'm prophesying and declaring that God is for me as I'm going forward. I'm not waiting for another shoe to drop. I'm going forward into that future in faith. I'm prophesying and declaring my future is blessed and that I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And I will overcome everything and anything that's not God by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. That testimony being the word of God and those words that He's spoken over me. Praise God. And so that brings us to our conclusion today. You have permission to hope again. Why? You got a golden ticket. You've got something that God has provided for you that can spark hope in any bed of prostration of circumstances. There is a hope and there's a blood that's not afraid of your stuff. There's a blood that's not afraid of you. There's a blood that's not afraid of any part of your attitude. That blood is right there with a heart with a 70x7 attitude, just waiting for you to receive mercy and cleansing and strength and restoration and refreshing. There is something about that blood when it cleanses your conscience from dead works, and all of a sudden, all those voices that you're just laying in bed that you don't want to have to answer or try to answer again or figure out, when all those voices are silenced by the blood of Jesus Christ, because the blood isn't afraid of them either. And all of a sudden, there's peace again. And all of a sudden, there's calmness again. And you remember, oh yeah, this is what fellowship with God is like. There's so much peace here. There's so much I don't have to know. I just have to know You love me. And I just have to receive Your forgiveness. That's golden. That can get you off any bed. Praise God. But it doesn't stop there. You come off that bed, arising and shining, and declaring that the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, that there's a favor on your life, and you're going forward, declaring the goodness of God, declaring His faithfulness to you. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, just for this word to get sealed into our hearts. I just pray, Heavenly Father, that we would see and know and receive that mercy and grace of God in our lives today, that we would receive it for us, Lord, that there is nothing that we would stay down in, but that the golden ticket, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that can cleanse my conscience. It can cleanse your conscience from any dead works, from anything that's not God. Make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree with it. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I receive today my golden ticket. You've given it to me. The precious blood of Jesus that can cleanse my conscience. It can silence the noise. It can wash away every sin. It can wash away all guilt. I'm not trying to fix it. I'm not trying to figure it out. I just receive mercy. I receive grace to help. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for grace. It wins every time. Heavenly Father, I get up off this bed and I declare you have a future and a hope for my life, that I belong to you, that I am yours, and I will walk out your plan for my life. I'm your workmanship. I will do those good works you've ordained me to walk in. I am yours, and I receive permission by the blood of Jesus Christ to get up today and to hope again, to walk forward into my future, declaring my light will shine. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So praise God. Receive that word today. Let it encourage you and just refresh again things you've already known. I know about God and his love for you, but just let him wash over you again and encourage you and build you up, you know, and to realize that, yeah, I'm going on. I'm going for it. And everything that God has for me, praise God. You know, there's that line where Grandpa Joe says, I never dreamed that I would climb over the moon in ecstasy, but nevertheless, it's there, and I'm shortly about to be. I love that. He not only got out of that bed, but he was spotting a moon, and he's going somewhere. I'm going there. You know, he's getting you out of bed, but he's getting you out of bed to get you sailing back in the stream, to get you going back to what he's called you to do. It's not too late to do what God has called you to do. And you're going to do it. And you're going to finish your course with joy. Praise God. Well, thanks again for joining us this morning. Again, happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. And we just pray that you're blessed. I don't know, you don't really get all the big fancy restaurant type things going on. But, you know, we're going to figure out a way to properly bless and honor mom today. So hope you guys have a wonderful week and be blessed, be safe, and we'll talk to you soon. God bless.